The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that explores the ups, downs, and in-betweens of everyday history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're talking about how the Leaning Tower of Pisa got its trademark lean, and why it took more than 600 years for engineers to finally get a grip on it. The day was February 27, 1964. The Italian government began accepting proposals for how to save the Leaning Tower of Pisa from collapsing. At the time, the top of the 8-story tower was leaning 17 feet south of its base, and the tilt was getting worse by a fraction of an inch every year. Officials worried that the iconic tower might topple in the next few decades, or even sooner if there was an earthquake or a powerful storm. All of Italy's previous attempts to correct the problem had failed, so the country decided to seek suggestions from the international community. Experts from all over the world weighed in on how to save one of Italy's most popular landmarks, but despite some promising ideas, they didn't land on a winning strategy until 35 years later. Work on the tower began in 1173 as part of the construction of Pisa's Grand Cathedral complex. At the time, Pisa was a major trading power and one of the wealthiest cities in Europe. To celebrate that good fortune and to show it off a bit, the city started building a lavish town square on the northwestern edge of the city. That complex, known today as the Piazza dei Miracoli, or the Square of Miracles, was designed to hold three structures central to religious life: a baptistry to represent birth, a cathedral to represent life, and a cemetery to represent death. In addition, there would be the Tower of Pisa, a freestanding white marble tower that would house the bells of the cathedral. Although ornate in its own right, the tower wasn't meant to be any more alluring or unique than the neighboring structures. But thanks to an engineering mishap, it became one of the most famous buildings in the world, although not for the reason that architects would have wanted. It took the builders 5 years to complete 2 of the tower's 8 stories, and by then, things were already looking a bit wonky. The tower's foundation had begun to settle unevenly, and as a result, the whole structure had started tilting toward the south. The reason for the tower's precipitous lean is now believed to be the very site on which it was built. The city of Pisa lies right between the Arno and Serchio rivers in Tuscany, and the tower itself was built not far from the shore of the Ligurian Sea. As a result of the area's high water table, the ground beneath the tower was a watery mix of clay, shells, and sand. Not an ideal place to put a tall, heavy building. Soon after the problem was discovered, war broke out between Pisa and its fellow Italian city-states, Luca, and Florence. The conflicts halted construction on the tower for nearly a century, but the delay turned out to be a good thing, as it allowed the bell tower's foundation to settle further, limiting the risk of its collapse. Work on the tower eventually resumed in fits and starts, and builders made several efforts to mitigate the tower's lean. For instance, while working on the 8th floor, they angled the story to the north to try to balance out the structure's southern drift. Unfortunately, the tactic failed, as the added weight at the top still caused the tower to lean even farther. Having done everything they could, the builders completed the tower around 1370. That means it took just under 2 centuries to build it from start to finish, though the actual working period was only about 20 years. Over the next 6 centuries, the tower continued to sink at an annual rate of 0.05 inches, or 1.27 millimeters. The lean gradually became more and more noticeable, until finally it was the structure's defining feature, and a reference to it was even added to the tower's name. By 1964, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was one of the most visited tourist attractions in Italy, with millions of people flocking to the Square of Miracles each year to see it. The tower's popularity gave a reliable boost to the city's economy, but its growing instability was beginning to make the government nervous. By that point, the top of the 180-foot tower was roughly 17 feet out of alignment with its base. Experts warned that it could easily topple in the right conditions, and the longer the issue went unaddressed, the more likely it was to end in tragedy. And so, on February 27, 1964, the Italian government began welcoming suggestions for how to stabilize its beloved monument. A multinational committee of historians, engineers, and mathematicians was convened to discuss possible solutions. The most promising plan was to drill holes into the tower's foundation and pour a concrete ring around its base to stop the structure from sinking any deeper. Unfortunately, when this was attempted in 1966, the drilling promptly caused the lean to increase, and the project had to be aborted. Several more attempts were made in the following decades, including wrapping plastic-coated steel pieces around the tower's lower floors and installing anchored cable counterweights on its north side. However, none of those methods proved viable, as the government didn't want to make permanent additions to the building, such as unsightly braces or cables. The tower had remained open to visitors throughout the various restoration attempts, but in 1990, the decision was made to close the monument due to heightened safety concerns. Once again, the Italian government organized an international task force, and once again, multiple proposals were put forward, considered, and ultimately rejected. Finally, in 1999, the panel of experts hit upon a solution that seemed promising and satisfied all of Italy's conditions. They determined that if enough soil was carefully excavated from the tower's elevated north side, the building would settle into the newly formed space and the tilt would be reduced. The only catch was that this process, known as under-excavation, ran the risk of disturbing the tower's foundation, which could cause it to collapse. To avoid this, the engineers had to work extremely slowly, removing no more than a gallon or two of soil in a day. As a further precaution, they temporarily attached a massive cable harness to the tower, which would hopefully keep it standing in the event of a sudden destabilization. The soil extraction proceeded slowly, but strong progress was evident along the way. Within 6 months, the tilt had been reduced by more than an inch, and by the end of the year 2000, by nearly a foot. The project wrapped up in late 2001, after 38 cubic meters, or about 1,300 cubic feet, of soil had been removed. The Leaning Tower of Pisa was still leaning when it reopened to the public that December, but thanks to the controlled excavation, its tilt had been reduced by a full foot and a half. The good news continued in 2008 when an inspection confirmed that the tower's movement had indeed stopped for the first time since it'd been built. Experts say that the 18 inches of verticality reclaimed through under-excavation will give the landmark another 2 to 3 centuries of life. The biggest threat to the tower's longevity would be an unpredictable disaster, such as an earthquake. But even in that case, there's a surprisingly good chance that it might survive. That's because, according to engineers, the Leaning Tower of Pisa benefits from a phenomenon known as dynamic soil structure interaction. It basically means that during an earthquake, the tower wouldn't move and shake like a building with a firmer foundation, because its soft soil would have a cushioning effect. So ironically, the very thing that caused the tower to lean in the first place is also its best bet for withstanding a seismic event. Still, if the Leaning Tower of Pisa should ever fall, it's worth noting that the city does have a backup. Two, in fact. The bell towers of two other nearby churches have also failed to stand up straight. And while their leans aren't nearly as drastic, they could still make for a decent selfie in a pinch. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any feedback to share, feel free to pass it along by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.